My message today, I'm going to be talking about faith. I can't quite get past the message that I was preaching on last Sunday. It didn't fall. I've been living on that all week. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that today. We're going to be talking about faith. And I could title this message today, the title that I would like to give it doesn't sound real faith-building. And that is, the ship is going down. Stay with the ship. That don't sound real exciting, does it? Yeah, the ship's going down. Stay with the ship. Sometimes when we get words from God, they don't quite fit our reasoning and what we would think would be, something that would be an answer to prayer. How many of you would... if you was needing a word from God, and God said, the ship's going down, but stay with the ship, how many of you would feel just uplifted? Be a little hard, wouldn't it? But I want you to look in the book of Acts. I probably ought to get my post-it note out here. Because I have already started in the middle of my message. In the book of Acts, chapter 27. Verse 22. Let's back up 21. It says, but after long abstinence, food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. In other words, we're in this storm. We've been in this storm for 14 days. We've given up hope, but today an angel stood beside me and told me that everybody is going to be saved. There will be no loss of life, but the ship's going to be lost. Now, let's jump on down just a little bit to verse 31. A bunch of men, a bunch of soldiers letting down a boat and deciding to, they're going to escape the ship and they're going to do their own thing. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, Paul just got through telling them a few minutes ago that the ship's going to be lost. And now he's telling them, don't get out of the ship if you want to be saved. Sometimes walking with God takes faith that fights your brain. Amen. How many know that faith doesn't always go along with what with your mindset or thinking? It's sometimes it can be very, very confusing to follow and obey the words that God gives us, and sometimes life can be very confusing. Amen. Has anybody got it all figured out? I'd really like to talk to you if you do. If you got this life figured out. At one time I thought I did. But I'd only been on this planet a few years. I see these kids, we like to watch, some of these talent shows and see these kids, these 14-year-old kids will be getting ready to perform on this talent show and they'll say, I've planned for this my whole life. And I always laugh because I say, yeah, because you've actually been on this planet a whole 14 years. And you've been planning on this your whole life. We think those things. And yet life has a way of confusing us because it doesn't always go along with what it's supposed to go. Amen. Sometimes it goes exact opposite of what you would think would be blessing. Amen. And yet the Bible tells us that as children of God, we are blessed. We're the head, we're not the tail. We're above and not beneath. The windows of heaven are open over us, and we're walking in the blessings of the Lord. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Amen. And we read those things, and if we're not careful, we get a utopian attitude about life, that if you're a child of God, then bad things aren't going to happen to you, and then bad things happen to us. And it can be real confusing when we put all of our confidence in a gospel that tells us that we're going to be free of pain, free of hardship, and free of obstacles, and we're just going to float down this river on our nice little raft with all the plushness and things, or some of us would have a 55-foot yacht that we're floating on, and with servants waiting on us, and that's our idea of what it should be if we've got faith. I've been told so many times by people that did not go where I went that when problems assailed me in the place that I went, that I should have had more faith, and yet they wasn't there with me when I come up against the battle. But in the cheering section, they say, you should have had more faith. And yet I'm here. Come on, somebody. Amen. See, faith does not mean that you're going to be saved from all the problems of life. Faith simply means that you believe in God, and no matter what comes, what happens, no matter what comes in this life, no matter what kind of trial comes against you, you believe in God, and He is your God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget after one time when I ended up, you know, having a bunch of problems trying to get to Rwanda and everything. You all know the story. I've told you could probably quote it better than I could. And ended up really sick and all that kind of stuff and couldn't see. And, you know, just you saw that kind of had an infection in my blood, and I didn't know what that means. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I didn't know that that was a bad thing. And so I thought, you know, it's okay. Refused to go to the hospital. Was out for like 3 days. Woke up in a stranger's house, and praise God, we made it. I survived. But I'll never forget on the airplane when we were getting off in London. I'd actually slept for 11 hours. We left Johannesburg. I was sharing this story with Dr. Lukoski the other day. I got on the airplane, sit down, told the guy that was sitting by the window, he's an Australian guy, and I said, you might want to sit in the aisle because I have been really sick, and I am so weak and tired that I doubt that I get up. So if you're going to need to go to the bathroom or anything, you need to change seats with me. And he said, okay, mate. And he gets up, he sits on, and I sit down, and that's the last thing I remember, is sitting down. 11 hours later, I wake up and look over and kind of wake up and look over at him, and he's leaning way away from me with his eyes real big. And I said, what are you doing? He said, you died. I said, no, I didn't die. I'm fine. No, he said, you died. You've been dead for 11 hours. I said, no, I've just been asleep. He said, you don't understand. We checked you. You have not moved and you have not breathed for 11 hours. He said, I called the flight attendants. They come and checked you. They told me to be quiet until we landed and we'd get everybody off the plane before we removed you. I said, I'm fine. I was just asleep. He said, no, you were not. And I said, yes, I was. I was just asleep. As I'm getting off the plane, one of the flight attendants, as you're getting off the plane and everything, they stand there and they greet you, you know, out of duty. They're like, have a good day, have a good day, have a good day. You know, they stand there and do that. And this one flight attendant looked up at me and she said, oh, you shook us up. She said, I'm so glad to see you up. And I said, well, I am too. Amen. I survived. You know, it's kind of like, we made it.
I got home after a journey like that of miracle after miracle and God just showed up and everything. I got home and I had people literally tell me that if you'd have had more faith, you wouldn't have had problems like that. And I just stood there looking at him. I said, but God was with me every step of the way. Every breath I breathed, God gave me the breath. Every step I took, God gave me the step. Amen. I preached 4 days straight without even being able to see or stand up, and yet I did it. Why? Because there's somebody inside of me that can stand up when I can't stand up. There's somebody inside of me that can breathe when I can't breathe. There's somebody inside of me that can do what I can't do, and that's our faith in the children of God. That's what we have inside of us. Sometimes you might see and look and say, man, the ship is sinking. But if God told you that you're going to see Caesar, it doesn't matter if the ship sinks. You're going to get to Caesar. Woo! I'm going to have to slow down here. I'm about to blow up. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, where we was at last Sunday. Amen. I'm not going to give you a fantasy faith today that says if you have faith, you're not going to have any problems. I want to talk to you about a faith that can't be put out by the fire that can't be put out no matter how much water the devil throws on it. I want to talk to you about a strength that can't be taken away from you no matter how much comes against you. Strength will continue to come into your body, in your spirit. And you can stand up when everybody says you ought to be sitting down. You can run when everybody says you can't even walk. You can live when everybody says you should be dead. This is a faith that comes from the very throne room of God. And if we can grab hold of this, it doesn't matter what happens to us. It's what we have inside of us that matters. And we're going to go through this thing. Woo! I'm sorry, I'm about to blow up. Amen. It's hard to get 5,000 pounds of pressure from heaven through this little tiny nozzle. Chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It did not fall because it's founded on the rock. Now what Jesus was saying was the winds came, the floods descended, the winds blew, and beat on that house. As I said last Sunday, how many feel like your house has been beat on a little bit? Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to tell you, when you get to heaven and you stand before God and you're in your armor of God, it is not going to be shiny and pretty. It is going to be beat to pieces. It's going to have all kinds of marks and scars on it, and you're going to stand there, and God is going to praise you for every mark on that shield, every mark on that helmet, every mark on that breastplate. He's going to tell you, thou hast done a good job. You stood. Amen. I even got Old English there for a minute. I know I'm getting anointed now. I'm going into the Old Testament. I'm getting Old English, New King James Version. When I get throwing the thousand of these out there, man, we're getting there. He said, the winds came, the floods came. He said, but the one that didn't fall are the ones that heard these sayings of mine and did them. What was it that he's talking about? I'm just going to read the captions over this message, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Christ fulfills the law. Murder begins in the heart. Adultery is in the heart. Marriage is sacred and binding. Jesus forbids oaths. Go the second mile.
love your enemies, do good to please God, pray like this, fasting to only be seen by God, lay up your treasures in heaven. The eye is the lamp of the body. You cannot serve God and riches. Do not worry. Do not judge. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Go the narrow way, not the wide way. You will know them by their fruits. I never knew you. Build on the rock. That was just a oversight of what Jesus had been talking to him about. And he said, if you'll not only hear these, but do them, you will be built on the rock, and your house will not fall. You know, there is a faith today that needs to be recaptured by the children of God, especially in this day where everybody's talking about this ain't fair, and I've got these rights and all this. It's owed to me. It's entitled to me. I got to tell you something. If you want to really make it with God, you're going to have to get a faith that says, though God slay me, I'm going to trust him. It don't matter what comes against me. I'm going to come right back at it. It doesn't matter how many enemies come against me. Instead of focusing on the enemies, I'm going to focus on the angelic host that's around me. We sung the song right before. Amen. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. You know, sis, if we could have just put spaces in between there, I could have preached my message in that song. This is how I fight my battles. And I could have preached a while. And this is how I fight my, we could have got there, because I know I'm surrounded, but it's I'm surrounded by God. It's not the enemy that's surrounding me. It's God that's surrounding me. It's not the world that's surrounding me. It's the presence of God that's surrounding me. I don't live in this world. I live in the presence of God, and he is my strength. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He's the God that is going to take me where he wants me to go. You just got to have a word. You just got to have the word. You can't get there if you don't have the word. Whenever things come that confuse you and disorient you and discourage you, there's only one thing that's going to get you out of that. And that is a firm foundation, your heart and mind established on what God said. Amen. Oh, sometimes it totally looks opposite. And yet God brings us through. Amen. There's a faith that overcomes. In the first book of John, where we was at a few weeks ago, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, if you have to overcome something, that means that there's something against you. That means there's a battle against you. That means there's something coming against you. There's problems. There's obstacles in your way. There's enemies that want to conquer you. But it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith in what? Amen. When your body's sick and you can't seem to get well, where's your faith at? When troubles come and threaten to take your life down, are we able to say, I love you, Lord. I serve you, God. I worship you with all my heart. See, it's in those times that we find out whether we've got faith or a fantasy. Because when faith is tried, faith shines brighter. Amen. When fantasy is tried, it falls apart in a dismal destruction. Hopelessness. But faith simply does not. Amen. I've got to find another scripture real fast. I believe it's in the book of James. I can't find it right now. It's talking about when your faith is tried, that it shall come forth as gold. When your faith is tried, it will come forth as gold, purified gold. Not just gold, but purified gold. Amen. We don't like the purifying process, do we? The purifying process, and I'm trying not to be sound critical, but or anything like that. But you can't get something for nothing. Amen. You can't ride on somebody else's faith. You can't ride on somebody else's blessing. You can't ride on somebody else's provision. Amen. You can connect to every anointing that you ever seen, and for a short time it'll inspire you, and you might even be able to walk in it for a short time. But if you don't get in there and possess it like everybody else had to possess it that walks in it, you're not going to be able to keep it, and it's not going to work in you. You can't get something for nothing. If you're going to have what God told you to have, then you're going to have to grab hold of it, wrestle it to the ground, and keep hold of it until it becomes who you are. Amen. Discouragement is a powerful thing. Amen. Discouragement is a powerful thing. And if you don't have the foundation of God in your heart, it'll overwhelm you. And it'll cause you to make a bigger mess out of your life than the original discouragement did. Amen. Daniel had faith. But we found out that he had real faith after he was in the lion's den. Amen. When he got thrown in the lion's den, then we say, wow, you know, he had faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the king and said, we're not going to bow. You can throw us in this furnace if you want to, but we are not going to bow. Because God's able to save us from his furnace. But I like what they said next. But if not, let it be known, we didn't bow. Oh, give us some people like that today. Give us some Christians like that today. That says, look, I might not be liked very well, but I didn't bow. Amen. It might not be popular, but I didn't bow. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why do we have to have substance and evidence? Because most of the time you cannot see what you're believing for and you can't get a hold of it, but faith is able to reach out and grab hold of it and feel it when you can't see it. By faith, we can receive what God has for us, and there's no earthly evidence, and yet all of a sudden we start getting the evidence in our spirit and we begin to know it exists. And we start hearing the Word of God, and we stand on the Word of God, and we press in to the Word of God, and we say, this is what God's Word says. Amen. I'm gonna stick with God's Word. I'm going to hang in there with God's Word. I'm not going to just throw it off because something didn't go my way. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is not your credit card that you swipe every time you want something. Amen. Man, this type of preaching won't sell books, but it'll sure get you through the storms. Amen. I could get up here and preach on seven steps to victory, and we would feel good about it. But if it doesn't include the fact that you're going to have to stand the test, and in order to get to those seven steps, you can walk all the seven steps you want, but if you don't possess it and own it, it's not going to happen. You got to possess it and you got to own it. You got to learn to walk through the fire and believe that it's not going to kill. Matter of fact, let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Everybody turn with me there. I'm going to try to give you time. Okay, you've had enough time. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 2, this is Sister Betty's favorite scripture. She stands on this all the time. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Oh, God, I don't want to pass through the waters. I want you to carry me over the waters. Oh, no boat? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. Hallelujah. He said, when you pass through the fire, I don't want to go through the fire. God says, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you, and the flame won't even scorch you. But you're going to have to pass through the fire. We don't like that part. We want to sit down in the park out here and let God go get our victories and bring it to us. The problem with that is it's not going to do you any good. But when God takes you and walks you through it, when you get out on the other side, you've got more faith than you ever thought you could have. Amen. Praise God. Some of the best things that God's ever done in my life is when everything fell apart. Amen. I don't like it. I don't like doing that. And yet when you get out on the other side, it's like, wow, God, you're amazing. Amen. You're amazing. When you walk through the fire, it's not going to even scorch you. I mean, look at John. Jesus said that John had to stay alive. And matter of fact, Peter got upset and said, what about him? You know, when Jesus is talking about the way that Peter's going to have to die, don't we do that, you know? And you know, Peter was just a little incensed about that. And there was always a jealousy between Peter and John anyway. Because John's the guy that was always hanging around, you know, had his arm around Jesus. And you know, and Peter just kind of irritated him, you know. He didn't like little Johnny getting all the attention. And so they had to... And so when Jesus told Peter what was going to happen, the first thing he said was... What about him? What about a little huggy guy over here? And Jesus said, what's it to you if he lives until I come again? What's that to you? And in that, Jesus declared something over John that made it impossible for anybody to kill him. They put him in hot oil and tried to... Can you imagine that? I don't understand that. I really don't understand people thinking, well, we're going to heat up some oil and we're going to boil him. What are they going to do, eat him? I mean, just that kind of stuff just doesn't... It goes right over my head. It's like, what is wrong with people? And so they heated this pot of oil and they were going to kill John by putting him in hot oil and boiling him. That's messed up in so many ways, you can't even, I mean, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. And so they put him in the hot oil. And John said, you got any cucumbers put on my eyes? It was a day at the spa for him. You know, hey, could you heat that up just a little bit more? It's getting cold in here. Couldn't hurt him. Why? Because there was a word that Jesus gave him. Now, it didn't say that he didn't get put in the oil, but it said they couldn't kill him. Amen. Obviously, it didn't burn him. It didn't say that it burned him, because you can't be burnt like that and not mention it. I would mention it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to say something about it somewhere, you know. But God saved him. When you walk through the fire, it won't burn you. When you walk through the rivers, they will not overflow you. I'm talking about a faith today that has a flame that can't be put out by this world, can't be put out by opposition, can't be doused by the cold shoulders of this world or of your friends. I'm talking about a faith that stands on a solid foundation that cannot be moved and cannot be shaken. And when everything goes wrong in your life, your faith doesn't go anywhere. It simply stands up and says, I don't care what's going on. I know who I believe. I know who I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been times I've been in places where I felt like even God didn't love me anymore. Even God had abandoned me, and yet God shows up and does stuff, and it's like, wow, you did that, you know? It wasn't my faith. I didn't let go, but it wasn't my faith. I wasn't believing for this, and yet you did that, God. Amen. Praise God. You know, I keep looking at Josh here, but buddy, you just amaze me. I've not seen very many people go through surgery having things removed from their brain and not be handicapped in some way. And yet you came through that and you're not handicapped. Isn't that amazing? Now he's got some challenges ahead of him. Amen. Got some challenges ahead of him. Got a battle to fight. But I can't help, listen, Josh, I'm not prophesying. I'm just talking to you as a brother. I can't help but think back last Sunday when I thought you come up here just for anxiety or something. And everybody's praying with you. I never did pray with you. You had people praying for you. And at the end of the service, as I was closing, I just simply looked at Josh and said, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. It's going to be rough, but you're going to get through this. I had no idea what I was talking about. But somebody else did. Amen. I thought I was just encouraging him, you know, because that's the altar call I gave was for anxiety. I thought I just encouraged him with that. And yet the next day, he goes and they do tests and find out he got a big tumor in his brain. See, sometimes if I'd have known that, I might have hesitated saying something like that. I don't know. Praise God. But I know this is the word God gave me for you, Josh, is you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. That's the word I got. Amen. And we're gonna just keep declaring and believing the word of God this morning. Amen. Many of you are facing challenges that look like they're going to take you down. I know others of you got bad reports this week. But I got to tell you something. For every bad report, I got a good report. And that is there's somebody with you that's going to walk every step of the way with you. Hallelujah. He's going to keep you going. Praise God. When you can't go, he's going to get you up. Amen. I don't know why things like that happen. I don't know. I would love to live a life. I would love to have faith like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin never got sick. I mean, the guy was able to live that thing. I haven't been able to do that, you know? I don't know that Kenneth Hagin ever went and ate in little villages infested with flies and bugs. I don't know. Maybe he didn't do that. I have. And I've gotten very sick from doing things like that. But I preached the gospel and people were saved. even though I suffered for it, because I had to eat the food in order to not offend them so that they could hear the gospel. And so I preach the gospel, people get saved, you know, and in between services, you know, things are running everywhere. That's all I can say. And I get to the next place, I eat the food, choke it down. There's been times that I've literally gagged with tears running down my face trying to get stuff down, swallow it several times, trying to keep it down. But I've done it, and I've preached the gospel, and I've gotten very sick. I would like to be able to do that and not ever get sick. I remember when I spent 8 days in Cuba. Y'all know the story. I could give some of y'all up here to tell it. 8 days, I got sick over there, and I was really sick. By the time I got, I lost close to 20 pounds on that trip. And the last night when we flew back to Haiti, I laid on a concrete floor all night, unconscious, and just so weak, you know, and just had some kind of amoeba or something, food poison, whatever you want to call it, and was just so sick. And I woke up the next day, and I'd been laying on this old bathroom, laying on a concrete floor all night, unconscious. And I finally got up, and they got me to the plane. I got back. There's some stories about traveling on the planes that I really don't want to tell you, but it was very, very challenging in that kind of situation. And I got back home really, really sick, lost a bunch of weight. I was very skinny, just couldn't hardly go. 3 days, I had to fly out to Mexico to preach a conference in Mexico. I got 3 days. I get home, can't get out of the bedroom, really sick. The church is praying for me. I go to bed on the third night. We go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. We had to pack. And then we had to find our passports because Sister Betty put them in a place where they'd be safe. That's all I want to say about that. We finally found them at 1:30 in the morning. We had to get up at 3 to leave for the airport. 1:30 in the morning, we finally found them, and we went to bed, found hers. And I go to sleep at 1:30. Now, mind you, I've been battling through this sickness, trying to preach the gospel, trying to keep going, telling people about the greatness of Jesus, suffering the whole time. You say, well, where's your faith? It was in the fact that I was going to keep preaching and keep going no matter what happened. Amen. I went to bed at 1:30. The alarm went off at 3 o'clock. I woke up completely healed, completely restored, had all the strength I needed, flew out to Mexico and preached for 7 days in Mexico without having one more moment of being sick. Now, a lot of us could back up and say, well, why didn't he do that in Cuba? I don't know. Why didn't I? Why couldn't I get a hold of it in Cuba? You know? If we're going to constantly question and say, why does this happen this way? Why does it go this way? Why did that have to happen to me? If you constantly question, feeling like life's not fair and God's doing you wrong somehow, you're never going to be able to get the faith that endures through to victory. Amen. When I woke up at 3 o'clock completely healed, I didn't stand there and say, well, great, why didn't you do this a week ago? No, I got up and rejoiced, grabbed my luggage, jumped on the plane, and went and preached the gospel in Mexico because I had a mission to do. And God was with me every step of the way. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! Amen. I could walk on air right now. Stand with me if you would. I'm done. We're not really. But I'm going to quit. Challenges are going to be there. Life's not going to treat you right. People aren't going to treat you right. Things are going to be taken from you at times. Things are going to be given to you at times. Life is uncertain. But this one thing I know that is certain. Jesus loves me. And He'll never leave me or forsake me.
Thank God. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Thank God.
He will walk every step of the way. There's a song the worship team sings that says something like, I've never had to take one step alone. Never had to take one step alone. The challenges that you're facing might seem insurmountable, but I'm going to tell you something. There's somebody walking with you right now.
Yeah, amen.
Somebody holding your hand. They got you. They got you. Whether you're on this life or on the other side, I've held the hand of a lot of people as they slipped out of this world and into the presence of God. But you got to understand, you're okay no matter what happens. He's with you. Amen. And we're victorious no matter what happens. I'm so thankful that I don't have to wonder if I'm going to have victory. Because I know I'm going to be victorious. It's just I don't know how the circumstances are going to play out. But you're never going to walk one step. You're never going to walk one step by yourself if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that today. You can commit your life to Him. We took communion a while ago. When you take communion, that's not just saying I agree with you. That's saying we're one. I'm one with you, Lord. I'm one with you. And I'm gonna be here. And I know you're gonna be here. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know that this year some of us are going to face the biggest battles we've ever faced in our life, but that some of us are going to have some of the greatest victories we've ever had in our life. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you and commit our ways to you right now. I want to have a faith that doesn't let go. God, I want to have an anticipation that doesn't quit. Father, we just pray that, God, over this whole church, this audience. Thank you, Father. An enemy today that wants to take you down. No matter what it is, there's all kinds of enemies. I've got a friend that I met with, a pastor friend that I met with the other day. And a year ago, he was in bad shape. Couldn't do much. Weighed over 400 pounds. Hurt all the time, couldn't do much anything, discouraged, disappointed, and depressed most of the time. But a year ago, in April, something happened in his spirit, and he decided to live. Since then, he's lost over 100 pounds. Got over the depression, the discouragement. Got another 100 pounds to go. Why? He looked at me, he said, I don't know what happened. I don't know how this happened. He said, I've really not done anything real great to make all this happen. I said, I'll tell you what happened, brother. You decided to live. You decided to live. Amen. And God's for you. If you've got some mountains today standing in front of you that you're not sure you're going to be able to climb, I want you to get out of your seat and come up here. We're going to believe God, amen, to make that mountain a plain, to cause you to be able to go through that thing, to be able to overcome it. Amen. There's all kinds of battles that we're facing. Spiritual battles, soulish battles, physical battles, all kinds of things that are coming against us. But I'm going to tell you today, you've got somebody that's with you. You've got somebody that's with you. Hallelujah. Come on, I know there's some more. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You got to put it before God. You got to say, God, here I am, and I'm not quitting. Here I am, God, and I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up.
Come alive. unrelenting love. Rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons. And by your Spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. So we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. And up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. So we call out to dry bones, come alive. So breathe the breath of God. Now breathe the breath of God. Breathe the breath of God. Now.